All right, how you been, Joseph?
Good, how you doing, buddy?
Good, real good. I've been busy, but I think that things are finally starting to pay off. And so I'm feeling good about myself. So before we get too into things, I have an announcement to make. For the first time ever, this Damascus Road podcast is sponsored by King's Counsel Shampoo and Conditioner. Listeners of the podcast can get use code TDR10 and get 10% off their order. So y'all go to kingscouncilco.com. I'll put that in the show notes down below, but use code TDR10 for 10% off, and that way the listeners get paid, we get paid, everything's good.
I already got mine.
Very good. So with that being said, it's in a pre-order state right now. I'll ship out next Thursday, so a week from today. That's on the 14th. I'll ship the orders out.
It's about time. I'm tired of using my wife's.
How
Granted, my hair has never smelled so florally before.
So you got anything you'd like to announce, or you want to start praying and get into it?
I am gonna have something to announce.
Okay.
I think I messaged you earlier about it. I got something in the makings that I'll be announcing in the next week or two.
Okay. No, you didn't message me, but after this, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right, sounds good, but we'll be looking forward to that too. How about you pray and then we'll get going.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together again, Father, another week. Talk about another story, to give your word another time. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts to your wisdom, Father, and I pray that you open the hearts of our listeners, Lord, that they may receive a message, they may receive wisdom from us, from you. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all, amen.
Amen. So we're here to talk about King David. But before we get into that, so when we first started off with the podcast, we were going to do listener questions. We're going to have questions on Twitter. And we've kind of gotten away from that. But I did have a pretty interesting discussion with a guy, somebody that's listening. And I would like to bring it on here and ask you the question that he asked me, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep him anonymous because I promised him that I would. And I have his permission to be asking. Let me find it. So he listened to my testimony podcast that I put out on my birthday on Monday. And he had a couple of questions and I tried to answer them the best that I could. But one of them that really stuck out to me is, and he sent this to me, he said, "Is it possible to have committed the unforgivable sin?" And he's referring to blasphemy against the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew and also in Mark that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was the unforgivable sin. And the example that he gives is that he thinks that he may have committed the unforgivable sin because he was a couple months back, he was having a hard time with the masturbation. And he got to the point where he kind of made a promise to God about that he was going to stop because he knew that it was a sin and that he was doing the wrong thing. But he made a promise to God that he would stop, but then he didn't uphold the promise. And so he has it in his head, and I believe that it's Satan telling him that his sins are unforgivable because he has committed this sin. So let's hear your perspective on that.
Okay, you're absolutely correct. That Satan that has that in his head. He's whispering in his ear. I think we talked one time about the penalty box, or I talked to somebody about it.
Right.
You know, we commit that sin even though we've made a promise that we're not going to. And look, we're going to break promises to God our entire lives. We're humans. We're fallible. We're going to mess up. We're going to slip up. And pornography is an addiction, and masturbation to it is an addiction, and it's something a lot of men struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's being tackled a lot on Twitter right now because it's the month of November, but, you know, it's something that needs to be tackled all the time. But so there is only one sin that's unforgivable, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But that one sin is an absolute and complete rejection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. After you know him, after you've come to terms with him and you believe in him and you know what the truth of the gospel is, when you reject that is the unforgivable sin. So making a promise to God and slipping and doing it, it makes you feel like crap. That's the Holy Spirit conviction. But that is by no means a loss of salvation. That's not blasphemy. That's us being humans and erring.
Right.
So this person does not have to worry about that. He needs to get that out of his head. You know, mm-hmm. Unless he has straight up rejected Christ, I know who you are. I want nothing to do with you ever. That's the...
Right. And that's exactly what I told him, because I went and looked up that verse and I sent it to him and I said, okay, here's my interpretation of this and here's what they're talking about. And I told him exactly what you just said. A lot of people don't know this, but I have struggled with that kind of sin in the past also, with the pornography and the masturbation and things like that. And I still struggle with it every so often, but not nearly as much. This has been both before and after I got saved. And I have made that exact promise to God that I would stop, and then knowing that I couldn't, that I was not going to stop, and I did not stop. But
see, the promises, the problem with us making promises to God is we don't have the strength.
Right, exactly.
To carry that promise out. We need God's strength to carry out the promises we make to God.
Right.
So what you've done and what a lot of men have done, and it's been a long time for me, but I at one time struggled with the same problems I think most men do nowadays. I mean, it's the internet era.
Right.
I had a computer with the internet when I was 14 in my bedroom. I could shut the door and look at whatever I wanted to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the problem is we try to do things on our own. We make those promises and we try to be strong enough to do it on our own.
Right.
And we can't. So when we're done with all this, I'm going to send you a link to a video on YouTube, and I want you to send it to this person.
Yeah, I can do that. But yeah, I've said it before, but the number one thing that I pray for is for strength. I ask God every single day, every time I talk to him, I ask him for strength to do what needs to be done, strength to resist temptation, strength to do what he needs me to do, and strength to say the right things, strength for this podcast. I ask for strength before we get on. I ask for strength all the time.
My daily is wisdom.
Yeah. But
strength and wisdom kind of go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah. Shout out King's Counsel shampoo and conditioner. We had the wisdom and might package. Cha-ching. All right, that's all I have. Let's get into King David. You go with that?
Yeah, let's go for it. You first, sir.
Sounds good. So King David he's the son of Jesse. He was a shepherd. So his early life, he was a shepherd, which we see in the Bible, shepherds all the time. God has a special love for shepherds. So at the time, the king was Saul, and not Saul that would later become Paul. This is a couple hundred years before that. But God gets mad at King Saul because King Saul made, I don't know the exact, but he made an offering that God didn't approve of or something like that. And so God was unhappy with him. This is in, by the way, for the people listening at home, the story of David is in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. At least that's where I focused. He also wrote the Psalms and things like that. I encourage everybody to go through and read this and double check what I'm saying, make sure I'm saying the right stuff.
So before you go further, clarify, yep. I think you and I are touching on two different topics tonight, correct? They're both King David, but different aspects of King David.
Yeah, so I'm talking about, I focused mainly on, so right now I'm giving the summary of like his entire life, you know?
Right.
And then I focused mainly on his sin, his committing adultery with Bathsheba. But I also, you had said that you were going to focus on masculinity, so I have one or two things based on that also. Is that still the case?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, sounds good. So to keep going, God's mad at King Saul. So God, he anoints David to be the king. David wouldn't become the king for a couple years after that, after God selects him, but God selects him to be the next in line. David becomes a servant to the king, to King Saul, because he can play the I don't know how you say this instrument name, the lyre.
Lyre.
Lyre. Okay, it's like a harp. So this requires him to travel with the king. So David is going, following the king into battle, playing the lyre for him. And at one point, the giant Goliath appeared. They were fighting the Philistines. The Israelites were fighting the Philistines. And the giant Goliath appeared. The army couldn't kill him. And so they sent in David. Everybody's heard the story of David and Goliath. God gave David the strength to kill Goliath with his slingshot and his rocks. This causes Saul to notice David and notice him for more than just a servant. And so he puts David in charge of the entire army, and David becomes immensely popular with the people of Israel. He becomes so popular that Saul gets afraid of David because he thinks that David is going to overthrow him and become the king. And he's popular enough to where he probably could do that. And so his faith, or his fear is probably pretty well founded. So Saul plots to kill David. But the thing is, Saul's son, Jonathan, has developed a friendship with David. And so Jonathan warns him. David flees the country. So he leaves Israel. Eventually Saul decides, I'm skipping a couple of details here, but Saul decides that he's going to call off his pursuit of David because there's so much trouble at home. He's being attacked, and eventually Saul loses his entire army. His sons die, and so Saul kills himself. David returns to Israel to become the king, and that's 1 Samuel chapter 31. That's the last chapter in 1 Samuel. Before long, David sends his army into battle. So David is the king. And after a little while, he sends his army into the battle. But David stays behind. And he was in Jerusalem. So he stayed behind in Jerusalem. And he sees this woman bathing, Bathsheba. And one thing leads to another. You know how it is. And she gets pregnant. But the thing is, Bathsheba was married, and David was married, but he had more than one wife, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, it was common then.
Right. And especially with him being the king, that was how he established relationships with other countries, other nations, is he would take one of the other ruler's daughters to be his wife.
Right. And the crazy thing of it is it's against God's plan all along.
Right.
God never said that was okay. Polygamy was okay.
Right. And so David and Bathsheba both commit adultery because they're both married and they are having a sexual relationship with each other. He tries to get Bathsheba's husband to come from the war because her husband is off fighting his battle. And so he tries to get him to come into Jerusalem and lie down with her, and then the whole world will think that, okay, it's a legitimate child, you know, it's because they slept together. But the thing is, her husband doesn't come. And so now all of a sudden, David tries to get the husband killed by putting him in the front line of the battle. And so he dies. But the thing is, David is so deep in his sin right now that his entire life gets cursed. So I have the verse right here. Nathan, who I forget the significance of Nathan. Was he a prophet?
That's a Bible quiz I wasn't ready for. I don't know a lot about Nathan. Keep talking. I'll let you know. Okay.
Sounds good. Well, anyway, Nathan gives David a message from God. And he says that this is in 2 Samuel verse 12. Chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." And so,
okay, Nathan was the court prophet of King David.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so because David is so deep in his sin, there's going to be infighting within his family. He's going to have a dysfunctional family. There's going to be drama for his entire life. And that is seen. David gets old and there's still drama because one of his oldest firstborn son tries to claim his rightful place as the king. But David's plan and God's plan was that Solomon become king. And so the oldest son had to – he snatched the throne for a minute, but then they let work things out and they made Solomon into the king instead. And so there's drama throughout his entire life. And then really that's all the notes that I have about David's life. The other stuff that I have is that he wrote the Psalms. Both Mary and Joseph, so Jesus's earthly parents, were directly descended from David. And he's probably King David is probably the most famous Christian character in the entire Old Testament. Countless like works of art, sculptures, paintings have been made of him. And so that's all I have on the summary.
If we want to get going. Israel's modern air defense system is called David's Sling.
Oh yeah.
So
didn't know that. So go ahead with your notes.
All right. So what I was looking at was, we'll talk about yours for a minute. So I have a lot of theological, we'll say, heated conversations with people. Mm-hmm. And people love to bring up the fact that David was an adulterer. And God still called David a man after his own heart.
Right.
And that confuses a lot of people. But you have to understand that, you can't hold David to Christ's standards. David, like you or me, was a man. Mm-hmm. He gave in to lust. Many of us men have done that at least once in our life, probably many more.
Right.
But, it's something that plagues David's character, especially amongst skeptics and unbelievers in Christianity, that he's held under such high regard. And I just want to take that moment to defend him, that he's just a man and he screwed up.
Right.
And he did pay a price for it.
Right.
God took that child.
Right. And the thing is, we started this podcast, both of us admitted to being formerly porn addicts. And so... Yeah. None of us, like neither of us, are any better than David.
No.
And I would challenge anybody to find somebody who's any better, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it's cool to look back on David and say, oh yeah, he's an adulterer. But the thing is, none of us are any better.
That's right. And moving to my notes, my verse on David actually comes out of the book of Acts.
Okay.
So Acts 13:22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel, Savior Jesus. So back to what you were saying about Joseph and Mary being of the lineage of David. And one of the reasons Mary was picked, because she's descendant of David. Jesus needed that Davidic line, that Davidic lineage to match up with prophecy of the Old Testament.
Right.
But God called David a man after his own heart, and David was a man. He was what I refer to as the man's man. I mean, he is the person that any man can look up to mm-hmm. in the Bible. Of all the characters, he is a warrior. He is a prophet. He is a singer, a dancer, a musician. I mean, he's a man of...
The original Renaissance man.
Absolutely. The women loved him. The kingdom loved him. God loved him.
Yep.
So I wanted to...
Red pill bros, take note.
Yeah, because they're going to hate what I'm about to say.
All right, let's hear it.
So I went into the aspect of David. So this isn't so much about David himself, but how he was as a person. You know, I wrote down that David was humble, reverent, respectful, trusting, loving... devoted. He gave recognition to God. He was faithful to God. He was obedient to God, and he was repentant of his sins, including the sin that he gave to the sin of adultery of Bathsheba. So, and I have scripture for every one of those. For David being a humble man, Psalm 62:9 says, "Lowborn men are but a breath, and highborn are but a lie. If weighed in the balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." You know, these are the words of David himself. he started out a lowly shepherd boy.
Right.
Ended up king of all Israel. So, you know, they're in God's eyes, we're equal. It doesn't matter what our status is. And some men forget this. You know, what we were talking about before the podcast, the Duck Dynasty guys, how they still have that humbleness that they can go back to where they came from.
Right.
That the fame and fortune has not corrupted them like so many people do. And there's so many of our brothers that we talk to on Twitter quite often that I kind of worry about a little bit with the success that they're achieving, because I can see some changes going on in them.
Right.
And, you know, David is a call to try to humble yourself, try to remain humble if you can, because success can get anybody, you know, just a little, the head gets a little bit bigger and you walk a little lighter and sure you feel good about it, but you have to remember that it's a blessing from God.
Right.
You know, in Psalm 18:3, he said, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. You know, God gave, he gave reverence to God in everything he did. See, David was completely dependent on God in every aspect of his life. Any point in any story of David you go to, you can find him depending solely on God.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to God for everything. He went to God before the battle with Goliath. He went to God when Saul was pursuing him. He went to God after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. So he always went to God, and he is an example to us that we should also be reverent to God too. We should always be going to God for everything that we do, good or bad. We, you know, it's you know, you be reverent, face whatever's coming for you, good or bad. Now, respectful in Psalm 31:9, he said, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, and my soul and my body with grief." So that's kind of not what you think of when I say respectful. But he was being respectful unto God. He was showing God that, or he was showing us that God was the only thing that could help the problems that he was having at that time. You know, be merciful to me, O Lord. I mean, he starts out with that right there. You know, I got problems, Lord. I need your mercy. I need your grace. And if y'all, you can't even see this, I swear, I wish you could see my hands when I'm talking to you. They're just like going everywhere. But one thing that I wanted to really touch on as far as his character is, he was a loving character.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 18:1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. You know, he loved God above all things. And that's something that we are supposed to do in our lives, is love God above all things. Excuse me. If I ever get rid of this chest congestion, I'll be happy. So this note I have right here says, in addition to everything we know about David, he has traits that can be passed on to us today, to men today, to men and women, but, you know, I'm specifically and foremost talking about manhood. So first and foremost, he was a worshiper. He worshiped God. He was passionate, even emotional at times, completely dependent on and submitted to God. He was a man of prayer. He loved the word of God. You know, it's because of all these traits, I think David was the warrior and the king that he was. He was the mighty man that he was. You know, the key one in there, and I've talked about it in tweets before, and I've talked about it in other places, is David was emotional. If you read through David's Psalms, there's times he's weeping. He's crying out. He's a broken man, and he's just pouring his heart out there for God and anybody around him to see. And that's something that I think far too few men do today,
right,
is embrace our emotional side.
Right.
And it's not healthy. It's not mentally healthy.
Right. We got too many stoics today.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I put on here, in a day and age when men value self-reliance, personal strength, and rarely show emotion, it may be that we need to take a second look at King David and determine the source of true, authentic manhood. Because the manhood we have today, and what's being taught, especially in the red pill circle, is not true, authentic, biblical manhood. It is not manhood as God planned it out for us. It is our own vision as men to be hardcore, bad to the bone, solid. Mm-hmm. Nothing bothers us. We're strong. We can handle anything. And that's just simply not true. There's very few men. And I will actually dare to say there's no man on this planet that is what our image of masculinity is supposed to be.
Right. I would agree with that. Because the thing is, we have just created this version of a man that is impossible, where you're supposed to be 100% calm 100% of the time. Like, there's no way. If something bad happens, if my mom got in a car accident tomorrow, there's no way I'm going to be that calm, collected individual, you know? I'm going to be super emotional about that. If the person who is able to repress his emotions is the person who really feels nothing about those about the people around him, especially in that situation.
And even people that repress those emotions, I honestly believe it's a mask. They are only able to repress it around other people, but when they get alone,
right,
you can't hide that.
Right.
It took me a long time to admit to people that I cry. I cried just the other day, not very long ago, over something.
Right.
It was a personal thing, and I did it alone, by myself, nobody around.
Right.
But, you know, there's this image that we're not even supposed to cry.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be tough. Man up. You know, that's mm-hmm. the term, man up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's a cause of a lot of problems with men today, is this repression that we have on ourselves with this image that we've put on ourselves. You hear about women, I've heard it all my life, you know, girls look at these magazines and they get this idea of what they're supposed to be, and it's bad that it's like this, but nobody ever talks about men.
Right.
And this image that society has portrayed on the men. And I think anybody needs to go back and read about David and take a look at his life. And I don't just mean in Samuel. Mm-hmm. Read through Psalms. He's mentioned in Acts. He's mentioned in several places in the Bible.
Right.
He's a very good example. But I think the book of Psalms is probably the best book in the Bible for just about anything, period. I don't care what you're going through in your life. There is a mm-hmm. psalm somewhere in there that touches it. And it was the wisdom that God gave David and the masculinity that David had that allowed him to share that wisdom with everybody else.
Right. Right. I definitely agree with you that I think that a lot of the problems that we have today are due to repressed emotions, and a lot of the school shootings that we hear about and toxic masculinity. Ooh, like, it's because men are suppressing their emotions. They're not allowing themselves to feel their emotions, and that is gonna blow up in your face. It can't. There's no way that it cannot blow up in your face. But at the same time, I definitely feel like there's a masculine way to go about expressing your emotions, and then there's a feminine way to go about expressing your emotions, where the masculine is, yeah, it's okay to cry and it's okay to feel that emotion, but you're not doing it in public and you're not doing it for attention. You're doing it because you truly feel a sad emotion.
And well, I don't even think it's bad if you do it in public.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So let me rephrase. Go ahead.
You don't want to be a broke down emotional wreck.
Right. Right.
Especially when you have people around you that's looking to you.
Right.
There is a responsibility, mm-hmm. you know, for that we have with our families. You know, my wife and my children look to me to be a source of strength for them.
Right. And to be
I can't lose my crap in a moment of high tension and stress. You know, I have to be calm and collective. So I think that's where the confusion lies. Mm-hmm. As men, we have this leadership responsibility, and we do have to push our emotions back sometimes and think of the people that are following us.
Right.
But when the situation's over with,
yes,
there's nothing wrong with stopping, taking a breath and letting it out.
Yeah, go let yourself feel those emotions for sure.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
You know, I put something on Twitter. You mentioned the school shooters. The last shooting that there was, it wasn't a school shooting. I don't know if it was Walmart, the Texas Walmart or where it was, but I texted a tweet that I felt bad. I actually felt bad for the shooter. I don't think it was Texas because that was over immigrants. But I read the backstory on the guy, and he was a kid that came in a home, a rough home, no dad, no father figure, no love from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
He's another example of male youth abandoned in America, and it causes all these issues. Nobody knows how to grow up to be a man anymore.
Right. Right. And that's because they don't have the masculine leadership in their lives.
That's right.
Don't have masculine role models.
I read your blog about fishing in Alaska and was jealous. I was like, you had a grandpa to go do this with. I never had that, you know.
I had a bunch of tweets about that stuff because I've never really had a boring summer. And so one summer I went to China with my dad and snuck out of the hotel room to go buy cigars. You know, like I've always just kind of gone with the flow. And in Alaska, I never made any money. Like I was lucky to make $500 a week, but I went there for free. My plane ticket was paid for. My bed was paid for. My food was paid for. And I got to see bears. I got to see bald eagles. I got to see the world, you know.
You can't put a price tag on the experience.
Absolutely not. I had a whole thread about that though. I've just had so much life during the summer. And school has always been kind of a secondary thing to me where, like, my family's going to Washington, D.C. Yep, I'm going with you. Let's go. Like, I'll get take these days off of school just to experience things. Kind of a tangent there I went off on, but we'll circle it back.
That's my notes on David. I'm noteless now.
Okay. Okay, so kind of a transition from, because this has to deal with masculinity and it also has to deal with his adultery. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so when he was with, and I touched on this in the summary, when he noticed Bathsheba bathing on the roof, he had sent his army to go fight his battle for him and he stayed behind. So instead of being the king and doing his kingly duty, and go into war with his army, as Saul did before, we see in the story. Saul went to the end of the battle. He was there at the battle. David stayed behind, and he sent somebody else to handle his business. And I just thought it was interesting that he wouldn't have had the problems that he had in his life. He would not have committed his major sin, which was the adultery with Bathsheba, if he had handled his business. Shout out to Bobby Dino, and gone into battle with his army. What do you think of that?
You're right. You know, he neglected his duties and responsibilities, and every time he did,
right,
there was a problem.
Right.
And you know, that mirrors us in our life. You know, mm-hmm. If we neglect our duties and responsibilities, do we not have problems too
that arise out of it? We absolutely do.
It may not result in adultery. It may result in you can't pay a bill on time.
Right.
But both things are avoidable.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? If we just and part of that's just laziness.
Right. So if David had gone to battle, we wouldn't be reading about his adultery. We'd be reading about how he was a man after God's own heart. People wouldn't care about the adultery, you know, because it wouldn't have happened.
Right. And, but to go on to God has a plan for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba.
Right.
And out of Solomon, we got the Book of Wisdom and the first temple of God. And so God uses everything. And God has a plan for everything. God knew David was going to do it before David did it.
Right.
You know, it's just part of God's plan. And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I think God allows us to sin just to humble us. I mean, we get a little too high and mighty, and he's like, all right. So, right. You know, it's like you know, the person you was talking to me about earlier, you know, that slipped up and looked at porn. I don't know this person or what was going on, but you know, sometimes when we're repenting, we're doing our best, we've avoided sin, you kind of get a little proud about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I haven't done this, and God's like, you know what? I'm just gonna let you slip. We got to bring you back down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sometimes I think God allows us to sin to humble us.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never thought of it that way, but it's absolutely right, because every time that you that somebody commits a like a recurring sin, or they get to thinking, okay, I've served the Lord a lot lately. Look at me. God brings us back down to earth, you know, because we're not special. God is. That's interesting.
Because I look at it as let me get it's Proverbs 16:18. I know where it's at. I just gotta find it. Proverbs 16:18. You know, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. So I think by allowing us to sin and letting that humbleness occur to us, maybe, and I'm just it's theological speculation. You know, it could be God saving us from that destruction and that mm-hmm. fall that Proverbs is telling us about.
Right.
Because I've been guilty of it before too. You know, I was sinning and I quit, and yeah, it's been months, man. You know, I ain't done this in months. Next thing I know.
Yep, there you go.
You know, I've slipped right into it, and suddenly I ain't got this big head about it anymore. My pride's gone. You know, it's me on my knees. God, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did this. I don't know why what caused me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think that's how God humbles us.
Mm-hmm. You know,
could be. I mean, there's no doctrine on that. That's just me theologically speculating.
Right. It makes sense though, because I never thought of that, but like. Every time we get prideful, something happens to knock us back down a few notches, and it very well could be God bringing us back down.
I mean, because if you're saved, when you sin, right. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and I mean, you just feel like crap after that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I've got is the idea of our sin compounds if it's not dealt with. And so David didn't handle his business, which led him to committing adultery, which led him to lying about committing adultery, which led him to having a man killed because of his adultery, which led to his entire life being cursed. So it compounded it. It made his life progressively one sin led to another sin, led to another sin, led to another sin, and it made things progressively worse.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting, because if we do not nip our sin in the bud, and if we do not repent for our sin, then it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, we experience the same thing. It just builds on top of itself.
Right, and we're going to get further and further away from walking with God.
And sometimes you slip so far off that path, it takes a while to get that walk back again.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's the danger of letting your not repenting.
Right. That's the danger of letting your sin get too far out of hand too.
That's right.
That's really all I have as far as that. I was doing some last minute Google searches earlier today. I've had a busy week, and so I kind of had to cram for this one. But I was doing some last-minute Google searches, and I saw somebody make they had a theory that I thought was interesting. And it's the theory that the life of King David was, I'm not going to say a prophecy, but a foretelling kind of. It was predicting the life of Jesus. And that is because he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. David was a shepherd, and when Jesus was born, the angels announced it first to shepherds, and then Jesus is described as the shepherd, the great shepherd, the help me out here. he leads the flock, you know.
Yeah, he's our shepherd, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then they also made the point that David used 5 stones to kill Goliath. Jesus was injured 5 times. He had a nail through each hand, each heel, and one spear in his side. And it seems like kind of reaching, but it makes sense, and it's something interesting to think about, that the life of David foretold the life of Jesus Christ. I don't know, just something else to talk about.
No, I've read stuff like that before. I don't know how much of a foretelling or a mirroring it is.
Right.
But sorry, I got a fly bother me. But it's still interesting to think about and to read about. And I'm not saying any of it's wrong either. I just don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. So it might be the first time I've said that on this podcast. I don't know the answer to that.
That's okay. I don't have any answers.
It's not one I've thought about before.
There's a lot of things that I don't have answers to. So it's nice. The tables have turned. Well, I mean, that's all the notes I have. What else do you got anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it. I think we've covered everything.
Yeah. It's going to be a short one.
I'm going to be, I don't know who that person you're talking to is, but I'm going to pray for them. God knows who they are. So I don't need to know who they are, but, yeah, it's been an interesting week. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of stuff going on Twitter. A lot of Christian conversation going on Twitter too. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this man that I was telling you
about. Go ahead.
Like I said, this guy that I was telling you about is a listener of the podcast, so I believe that he's listening. When I drop this, I believe that he'll be listening to it. I've also been praying for him, praying that he finds the answers that he needs. And maybe if y'all listening to this could say a prayer also. Yeah, that's it.
just pray for unspoken. Yep. God knows who you're talking about.
Right. I'm not trying to put him on the spot. I'm not trying to make him feel bad. Because I think he's very close. He just needs to keep praying about it. And so that's it.
Yeah, man, that's what we're here for, to help and to support. Mm-hmm. I don't mean here as in the podcast, but here as in Christians, period.
Right, here on earth.
Supposed to do.
Yep.
Help and support and preach and teach and rebuke. And
along those very lines, if anybody else is out there with questions or just want to talk about anything, feel free to reach out to either one of us. I'm on Twitter. I also have a contact on my blog, kylemoonlight.com. Joseph has his email posted, I believe, on Twitter. His DMs are open, so feel free to reach out to either of us.
If you go to my link tree and go to my Baptist Bee website, man, you got my phone number, my email, my PO box. So I'm not well hidden. There's a way to get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm always thankful to do it. Don't do it publicly on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that are theological from very broad spectrums, and I'm sure Kyle's noticed we like to have intense, different discussions about things. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I would rather you would rather speak in private too. You know,
right. Well, and there's a time and place for public. Like if you want to. Start a conversation about, like, this is how I interpreted this passage. How do you interpret it? Yeah, feel free to tag us in that and make it public. But if you want to share personal questions or personal things like that, then by all means, do it in private, man. Like, you don't need to be making your problems publicly known. So feel free to slide in there.
That's right. I agree. I want to do a shameful plug, but I don't care.
Okay.
So, you know, my other podcast, Trails to the Cross, I've done a couple recordings, kind of haven't done anything, so I'm figuring out formatting what I'm
shameless
doing.
Shameless plug, not a shameful plug. You're not ashamed of this plug, but
there's gonna be a lot of recording going on this weekend.
Okay.
And in the upcoming weeks. Mm-hmm. And I still got to get you for a recording.
Oh yeah. Next week I'll be able to do it for sure. Probably. Okay. I'll reach out, but probably next Tuesday or so.
Well, I know you was busy this week with the shampoo and everything going on.
Right.
And it's fine. I got a 17-page thing I still haven't even started for my school.
Oh, yikes.
It's a 17-page interpretive Bible study.
Do it over King David. You've already got your notes.
So I got you coming up. I have Sherlock, who I talked to. I'm going to talk to him. Dev's supposed to be talking with me, but she's kind of gone AWOL from Twitter.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to have to text her and bug her. But several people that anybody listening to this that regularly looks at me, Minor Kyle's Twitter, probably has at least seen the names. So we're going to, so the rest of this year, we're going to do some testimonies and talk about Jesus a little bit. And then starting next year, I want to get into my original Bible study format. I just didn't want to start that, you know, at the end of a year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very good. So are you going to do one a week?
That's my plan.
Like one chapter a week or two or three chapters a week?
Oh, how am I doing that? So,
like, is it going to take you a whole year to get through Genesis because it's 50 chapters?
It's going to. I'm not quite sure. I'm still figuring that out. But one schedule I have myself on will actually take me 3 years to get all the way through the Bible.
Okay, very good.
So if everybody wants to make it through the Bible with me, you got to listen to me for at least 3 years.
We're in it for the long haul now.
That's right. I'm making y'all commit. But that's all I got, brother.
All right. Once again, y'all go to kingscouncilco.com. Use code TDR10 for 10% off. And that way you guys can get you some shampoo. Me and Joseph can both get paid. And then we're good to go.
Get your shampoo. I already bought one. I'm customer number one. So I already got mine. Everybody else needs to go get theirs.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm gonna end it then, all right? Let me say a prayer real quick, and then we'll go. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet with Joseph today. Thank you for the opportunity to record our thoughts and interpret your Bible for you. God, I pray that for both of our families, Lord, for everybody listening. God, if anybody has any questions, have them reach out and help us to give us the strength to help them find the answers that they need. God, as I said before, if you could watch over both mine and Joseph's families, be with them in the coming week. Watch over everybody that's listening to this, Lord. And the goal here is that somebody can hear our words and find you through that, and you could touch their hearts, that they could get something out of this. And all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you have a good one.